أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we will look at Surah An-Nur, Ayat 4 to 10. Istafsir. Now we will learn about another Islamic ruling. When someone makes a false accusation of fornication against someone by saying that such a person is involved in fornication, then they cannot just say this unless they are able to bring forth four witnesses. Only then they can testify in court. Only after the four witnesses testify the fornication of the accused in the court, only then the accused fornicator will get punished. However, if someone accuses someone without the other three testimonies, making it into the required four testimonies, then they cannot bring forth the accusation. This ayah mentions the punishment for a person who makes false accusations. What we learn from this is that no person can just accuse anyone of fornication. From this ruling, honor of a chaste woman is protected, because in current societies there is a lot of loose talk. People accuse others of whatever they want. This only happens because Muslims have not learned the Quran. While Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated that teach your women Surah An-Nur. While the entire Quran should be learned, but this surah has been specifically mentioned to be taught. And what is the reason for that? This is because this surah discusses matters which women tend to be more involved in. For example, if another woman is seen with a man, it becomes a scandal, saying it looks like they have a relationship. Then from there, it becomes magnified. This problem is common. If anyone is seen with anyone of opposite gender, a big deal is made. Therefore, such severe punishments are ordained. So before making any false accusations about someone, a person should think 100 times. This punishment is called Haddi Qazaf, from Qaf Dhal Fa, meaning false accusations upon innocent, chaste men or women. Without four testimonies, they get a punishment, which we will learn about in the ayah. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ, and those who accuse المحسنات, the chaste women. What are the characteristics of a محسنة? Two things. Number one, that she is from a respectable family. Number two, she is married. These are two ways women are protected, either under the protection from her family or her husband. Whoever accuses a woman who is married or unmarried. We should keep in mind the story of slander against Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha when these ayahs were revealed. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ, then they do not bring forth four witnesses. This is something very difficult, to bring four eyewitnesses, those who had clearly seen the sin, who saw the fornication between the accused. If they cannot bring the four witnesses, then فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً, then flog them with 80 lashes. This is the first punishment. Number two, وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا, and do not ever accept their testimonies. Because for someone to testify, their truthfulness is a must. So now they have been declared as liars because they could not bring forth four witnesses. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ, they are those who cross limits, who open their mouths for anyone and make false accusations. So they should bring forth four witnesses, and if they are not there, then they cannot accuse anyone. Sadly, making accusations is done so easily today. In some parts of Asian countries, they kill young women's relatives out of shame. And because they kill them for their honor, the courts give them lenient punishments. So it is considered as understood to kill the accused. This cannot be. They have to bring four witnesses. If they do not have the four witnesses, then the person should remain quiet. So a person cannot go to the courts to get the punishment for the accused, nor make false accusations. Women's honor and rights are protected by these rulings. How can anyone dare to make such accusations about someone? If one person makes an accusation, and then rumors spread quickly, if asked if they saw the sin, most of the time they will say no. They just see the person enter the house with someone, or going somewhere with someone. These ayah teaches us to control our tongues. So many women who go unpunished for their actions, just because these commands are not practiced, and people say whatever they want. Sometimes media is used to spread rumors with accusations. Sometimes people themselves are no less than the media. Texting, calling, messaging, and other means are used to spread the slanders. And next thing you know, the false news spreads like wildfire. Although muhsinat are mentioned, but even when men are accused, four witnesses have to be brought forth. Some women accuse their husbands of this. But why are women mentioned specifically? This is because men defend themselves, and women are not able to do that. People question the rights of women in Islam. Well, if we read and learn the Quran, we will see how women are protected. If we look back at Surah An-Nisa, we saw how women's rights are defended. Those who are considered weak in the society and cannot stand up for their defense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on their side. No one can dare to make these false accusations. Once in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there were four witnesses against an accused man. Three testified that they saw with their own eyes, while the fourth could not verify that if he did for sure or not. The other three faced the punishment of qazaf, and they were flogged 80 lashes each. Why? Because there was no fourth to testify. This was the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The three said that they saw with their own eyes, but not the fourth. So even if two or three testify, even then, if it is not four, the other two or three's testimony will not be accepted, and they will be lashed. Knowing this ruling, which mother-in-law would accuse her daughter-in-law, or a wife accuse her sister-in-law, or will accuse anyone else of slander, if they knew that if they opened their mouth and falsely accused, they would get 80 lashes, even if what they say is true. But if there are not four witnesses, then the accusation carries a punishment. Previously, we learned the punishment for an unmarried fornicator getting 100 lashes. And now for those who slander, their punishment is 80 lashes. We learn that Islam has called fornication an evil act, but even slandering is considered an evil. Now, why is there a severe punishment for this? If in a society, Gossips become a commonplace, and people accuse anyone without regard. How can anyone's honor be safe? Secondly, what will be the temperament of a society where dirty and loose talk is commonplace? So either they have to bring proof so the fornicators and adulterers are punished, and if there is no proof, then the discussions of these type are not liked in Islam. So people talk openly about scandals. We learn spreading false talk of indecent things is not liked. In an Islamic society, these talks should not be prevalent. Also, by these laws, women are given protection. There are three punishments for this: flogging, credibility and trust is lost in society for the accuser, even if the accuser didn't commit the sin himself or herself, but only use the tongue to accuse others. Then they are considered fasiq, those who are considered defiant and disobedient. This is for one who doesn't regard the honor of others. This punishment is also for someone who accuses someone of homosexuality. Then how should we use our tongue? Even if the accuser is not involved in the sin, even then, using the tongue to be part in scandals is not allowed. People who like making scandals are usually those who are after other people's daughters or sisters to see what they're up to. They always talk about who they are possibly involved with, always on a lookout for these things, just as a fly that sits on filth. If in a society this is always the topic of conversations or in the news, then where does people's thinking get diverted to? Today's media is in the forefront in these matters. Magazine covers are filled with stories of scandals. People buy these magazines just to read about these matters. This is just plain bad taste. It is very important to stay away from these things. If it was an Islamic society, so many would have received lashes because of this. Just because people escape the punishment in this world, it does not mean that they will escape it in the hereafter too. Rather, they will face the punishment in the hereafter. We should note that scandals start from small things, so we must be careful. So far we learned the punishment of qazaf, when chaste women or men are falsely accused of fornication. If someone has seen with their eyes, then they should bring forth witnesses. If they have not seen, then the person has to remain quiet. Because if the person doesn't stay quiet and spreads the news to others about it, then 80 lashes. A little later, we will learn about a companion who saw his wife doing adultery with his eyes. Even then, he did not take action. While in Asian societies, if there is even suspicion, not even an eyewitness, they take the matters very far, even killing in the name of honor. The one to receive this punishment has to be an adult above the age of puberty, and with a sound mind. A person who is mentally disabled cannot be punished, nor a child can be taken into account. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ, except those who repent after that, وَأَصْلَحُوا, and they reform themselves. Who is this for? Some scholars say, when those who slandered repent and reform themselves and spend a life of piety, then their testimony can be accepted. There are some other scholars who say that Allah has stated, لَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا, that do not ever accept their testimony. So their testimony can never be taken, ever. After repenting, they will not be considered fasiq, but not that their repentance is accepted by people. If a person repents and never repeats making accusations again, it is called islah or reform. And if the person, so the person who is accused of slander should admit that he lied and announce his intention to reform himself and never to do it again. So we learn that repentance alone is not enough. The sinner must leave the sin permanently and reform themselves. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Then indeed Allah is most forgiving and all merciful. This is not for those who do not repent, nor have any remorse for their sins, nor they leave the sins. They think Allah is just Ghafoorur Rahim and forgives. And those who keep on sinning, just relying on the fact that Allah is most forgiving. Then we did not repent, and do we really seek forgiveness? If we have ever said something about someone, then we have to repent. Even if we do not get the punishment in this world, then we must make sincere repentance to Allah so we do not get punished in the hereafter. Next, we will learn about the ruling of li'an, the third type of ruling. First, we learn about the ruling regarding punishment of fornication. Then we learn about punishment of qazf. Now we will see what is the punishment of li'an. The word depicts curse or condemnation. When the accuser swears by Allah, by which he asks for condemnation and curse of Allah. The curse of Allah means being turned away from the mercy of Allah. When this is from a creation, it means a curse. The ruling of li'an is when a man accuses his wife of adultery. Then an imam is brought forth who will conduct the li'an between the man and his wife. This starts from the husband. The husband swears four times that he has seen her with so-and-so doing adultery. And then he says, I am truthful in my accusations. After swearing the four times, the fifth time, he has to say, if I am lying in my accusation, then may the curse of Allah be upon me. This is why it is called li'an. Then the woman will be stoned to death, but the woman can save herself from the stoning by saying, this is a false accusation. And if she also swears four times by saying, I make Allah witness that the accusation is false and he is lying, then fifth time she will say, if he is true in his accusation, then the wrath of Allah will be upon her. After this li'an, the woman is divorced from her husband, or the judge separates them, and they can never marry again. If the woman becomes pregnant, then the child is attributed to the mother, not the man. He will not be called a father. So the difference is, the fifth time, man invokes the curse of Allah, and the woman, she invokes the wrath of Allah. This is the only difference. In a Musnad Ahmad narration, when this ayah was revealed about those who accuse chaste women falsely, how they would get flogged with 80 lashes, Sa'd bin Ubadah, chief of Ansar, said, O Prophet of Allah, was this ayah revealed just like this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Ansar, did you hear what your leader has said? They said, O Prophet of Allah, overlook him. He is only saying due to his honor. It is such that no one dares to give him their daughter in marriage due to his modesty and shame. Then Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, by Allah, O Prophet of Allah, I know that this is the truth from Allah. But if I see someone lying next to my wife, even then I cannot say anything until I bring four witnesses. By Allah, he would have finished doing what he was doing. Just a little time had passed after he asked this question, that if this happens to someone's wife, what should they do? Just then, Hilal bin Umayyah came, and then he said, O Prophet, I saw with my own eyes and heard with my own ears my wife with another man. The Prophet ﷺ did not like what he had said. The Ansar gathered and said, "We are being tested by what Sa'd bin Ubadah had said." As sometimes, when someone asks a question, the same scenario is presented by someone else. It was near that the Prophet ﷺ would declare the punishment upon Hilal for slander and declare his testimony unacceptable. Hilal bin Umayyah said, "By Allah, I am truthful. I am hopeful Allah will make a way out for me." He said, "O Prophet, I see what I said was heavy upon you. I swear by Allah, I am being truthful, but because I cannot bring forth four witnesses." It was almost the Prophet ﷺ would have announced his punishment, that the revelation started descending. The companions realized from seeing the face of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that wahi was coming. So when the revelation finished, the Prophet ﷺ looked at Hilal and said, "O Hilal, rejoice. Allah has made a way out for you." Hilal said, "Alhamdulillah, I had hoped of this from Allah." Then the Prophet ﷺ sent for the wife of Hilal to come. Then Prophet Muhammad ﷺ recited the ayahs in front of both of them and then said, "Verily, the punishment of hereafter is more severe." Hilal said, "O Messenger of Allah, I am saying the truth." The woman said, "O Prophet, he is lying." Then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Then both of you do li'an." Hilal was told to testify. So he testified by Allah four times. Then after he said it the fourth time, and before he said it the fifth time, he was told and admonished, "O Hilal, fear Allah, for the punishment of this world is easier than the punishment of the hereafter. Upon your saying the fifth time, the punishment will become inevitable upon you." He said, "I swear by Allah, just as he has saved me from the punishment due to my speaking the truth, he will protect me from the torment in the hereafter." Then he said it the fifth time, that the curse of Allah would be upon him if he was telling a lie. Then the woman was told to swear four times that he is a liar. After she swore the fourth time, then the Prophet ﷺ admonished against saying the fifth time. Just as Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had stopped and explained to Hilal, for them to remember that the punishment of the world is lesser than the punishment of the hereafter, where there is great difficulty. The woman stopped and hesitated and started to think, and then it was near she admitted her guilt. Then she said, "I cannot expose my people to shame," and said, "If my husband is true, then the wrath of Allah would be upon her." The Prophet ﷺ separated them and decreed that the child that was born would not be attributed to Hilal, nor considered unlawful, because they both took the testimony and swore. And whoever calls a child unlawful or haram and slanders the woman will be flogged for their slander. Then the Prophet ﷺ decreed that Hilal would not be responsible to house her nor feed her, and said, "If this child has red hair and skinny thighs, then he is Hilal's child. But if she gives birth to a curly-haired child with thick legs and plump buttocks, then this is what she is accused of." The man she was accused of relations with was a guest staying in their house. So when the child was born, he had the curly hair and thick legs and the plump buttocks, the sign the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had indicated, and the qualities of that she was accused of. At that time, the Prophet ﷺ said, "If this was not based on oaths, then I would have dealt with her." This child grew up to become the governor of Egypt, and he was given his mother's name. This narration is in Abu Dawood.